Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, and join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Again,
driving home for Christmas.
Well, good enough, Peter. Welcome, everybody, to number 7 of our 12 Rambles of Christmas.
Chris Rea is number 7.
He's not very well.
Oh,
get well soon. Oh, dear, yeah. Of course, this is our daily countdown of what we see as the 12 defining topics in football since we began the Football Ramble back in 2007.
What did we have yesterday?
We had Brazil 1, Germany 7.
Amazing scenes.
A very mothy scenes. World Cup. It wasn't a mothy World Cup.
And this is the halfway point.
Grasshoppery.
It's the halfway point, isn't it?
What is it? What is it?
Christmas is getting closer.
You're halfway down the stairs and you know that there are presents to be opened.
You can smell the turkey.
You can smell half the turkey.
Today, ladies and gentlemen, we have Leicester City win the Premier League.
Yeah.
Couldn't ignore it, could we?
Woo!
No. Are you surprised? We did this on a very rigorous points-based blind system, which was compiled by someone else. We give our points total, and it came out the way it came out. Are you guys surprised that this one isn't slightly higher, given it's fresh in the memory, and it was quite an astonishing thing?
Yeah, it might be, I don't know, fatigue. I think it's probably got more to the point that there are some quality things coming up later on.
Oh, true, actually, yeah. So, judge it on the stuff that's above it. Yeah, exactly. Fair enough.
Also, despite all the evidence of it, I'm not sure I believe it. No. I'm not sure I believe it really happened.
Oh, true, yeah.
I think we're all still processing it, in a way, aren't we, right? It still feels very strange.
It's like when Father Ted kicks that bishop up the bum and then just flat out denies he did it.
I think we're still coming to terms with what football looks like in England at a post-Leicester City Premier League.
No, I think we are.
Yeah. Yeah. And that remains to be seen.
Yeah, but before that 2015-16 season, Leicester City had never won England's top flight. Mm. Well, yeah. They have now. They bloody well have now, eh? Yep. Flipping heck. I don't know where to begin, really. I mean, the previous season, we have to give a bit of context, the previous season to when they won the league, you know, Pearson just about kept them up from a relegation fight.
Kept them in the division. They won 7 and drew 1 of their last 9, didn't they? Famously.
Well, you know, they spent 140 days at the bottom of the table before that run.
Yeah.
What a contrast to the previous season.
But it is, though. Like, you need to be reminded of that.
Yeah.
Because it's not. Look, Leicester were in the league. That's amazing. If they were hanging around mid-table for a few seasons and then won the league, you know, that would be absolutely outrageous. Yeah. But the fact is they nearly dropped out of
the
league.
They were a club in crisis. Time.
What was interesting was they won the championship with some really brilliant, swashbuckling, attacking football. And in that run of games that kept them up at the end of the season, they carried that on. Mm. And then, obviously, Claudio Ranieri just kept it up. Yeah. And it was just like they never looked back from that run.
Well, we often talk about football clubs having one type of manager, sacking him, and then getting a completely different type of manager. Well, that was Leicester City, Pearson to Ranieri.
Yeah, I mean, people were laughing. I imagine we probably were ourselves.
If we were going to be polite, I guess there's no reason why we have to be polite, but if we were going to be polite, you'd say the reception to Ranieri's appointment was mixed, to say the least.
No, not even mixed. Well, he was largely negative.
He was regarded as a busted flush. The Pearson situation was confusing. It was due to his son and what he got up to abroad, blah, blah, blah. So it was a strange situation. And Ranieri, it looked like just one of those, you know, jobs for the boys kind of appointments, didn't it?
Wasn't the Ranieri's last game in charge as a manager? A home loss for Greece against the Faroes.
That's right. So he was.
That definitely happened in his tenure, yeah.
He was a joke, basically, at the time.
And he inherited a sort of an interesting but sort of fairly uninspiring side. I mean, they had a bit of talent in there, but again, they were nearly relegated. But we would come to know quite a few of their players.
Wouldn't we, Josh?
In due course. In due course. But it's funny because when Ranieri, his side started, they started scoring a few goals. You know, Vardy and Mahrez started scoring and so on and so forth. And they didn't lose a league game until they got battered by Arsenal 5-2 at home on the 26th of September. I love the fact that when Leicester win the league, Arsenal took 6 points off them.
Yes, the only team to beat them twice.
I also love the fact that in that first game of the season, they beat Sunderland, didn't they?
4-2.
Yeah, and I don't think Kante started the game. I don't think he was
ready.
Yeah.
Wasn't fit enough.
No better than we've already got.
One of my favourite little anomalies from that was that Nathan Dyer was there on what appeared to be the most sideways loan in history from Swansea. Yeah. But then that guy's what happens.
Fair to say he rode again. Big wonderful. Nathan Dyer rides again.
Danny Simpson.
Yeah, they're all there. What was
the flip?
I know. Well, you go through the names of that squad or that team, because it was largely the first 11, really, wasn't it? He was very reliant on that 11. You go through them, and obviously Vardy was playing non-league, you know, 10 minutes before they kicked off against Sunderland or whatever it was. and you know, they bought a lot of their players in the championship. It wasn't like they suddenly had an influx of players.
They're all like kind of refurbished players, aren't they?
Yeah,
they were box damaged.
Yeah, a good way of putting it. Yeah,
like shop soiled.
Yeah. Well, Robert Huth, having previously played for Chelsea,
and
what was it, Stoke City, among others, you probably thought, I'll go to Leicester the last couple of years of my career. Yeah. You know,
Robert Huth is available from Rawlins.
Oh my goodness. But what was great about that season was having Ranieri in charge. There was a great personality about the side. Do you remember we were talking about getting the pizzas in for the boys and so on? This story that unfolded with Leicester was very enjoyable, one for everybody to kind of get behind, unless of course you're you know, a fan of one of their rivals or an Arsenal fan.
Derby fan or something.
Yeah, that's right.
That pizza thing was great. Do you remember it was a reward for them getting their first clean sheet, which they didn't get until the 24th of October. Obviously, their form was catching eyes. They still didn't, you know, didn't keep this clean sheet for
it's
that
mad,
long.
Isn't it?
And Ranieri said at the time, and this is what's so lovable about him, just his use of English, football is like pizza. The most important ingredient is team spirit, and the second is they enjoy training. That is important. Also, to sprinkle a little luck is important, like salt. the fans of the tomato. Without the tomato, it's no pizza. It's kind of stretched, isn't it? It's a stretched metaphor.
It's a hand-stretched metaphor.
Indeed. It doesn't even mention bread at any point.
No. Yeah. But he was full of those. He coloured, he punctuated the season with all this type of stuff. And I don't think, and what happens here, and we see it happening with Woody Egan Klopp a little bit as well, actually. People who don't like the club or don't like the manager for whatever reason, they start to make out that the managers are affected and they're doing it for a reason. I don't think Ranieri is affected. No. I think he's, and anyone who, I've met a number of people who've worked with him and had contact with him. I think he is actually like that.
Dilly ding, dilly dong.
And you have to argue. Surely you guys would accept maybe that the fact that Ranieri was the manager and that Ranieri's personality is like that, it would have been an amazing achievement anyway. But it makes it, I think, a bit more special and a bit more colourful and a bit more interesting.
That he's not a massive dick.
Yeah, that he's a likeable guy who had been cast aside by Chelsea in quite difficult circumstances not that long before that. It had everything, this story, didn't it? Mm-hmm. Throughout the entire campaign.
It's great that it wasn't some up-and-coming manager that did it that would then go on to bigger things. Like, as you know,
like a Marco Silva type replicant type of the story.
As Pete was saying about the sort of, some of them being refurbished players and so on, and there was a few older heads like Robert Huth and Wes Morgan.
Kante being the bargain no one could have expected.
Oh my goodness, but it did sort of fit in with the narrative. Some of those players, like Danny Drinkwater, had been released by Manchester United. You know, some of them had thought that they were maybe going to go on to play for bigger clubs earlier on in their careers. Now, Leicester are a huge club, don't get me wrong. Bigger now, of course, thanks to that win. But Ranieri going there as well, it was kind of like, I don't know, it's not last chance saloon. That's not what I'm getting at.
But it's not too many doors down from it, though, is it?
Yeah, fair enough.
It's almost like a Battersea Cats and Dogs home.
It's grainy casino footage.
Absolutely. But the team spirit shone through as well. Mm. And Ranieri, a very congenial man, just seemed to guide them through that, just seemed to foster that quite nicely. And in November, they drew 1-1 at home with Manchester United. Vardy broke the Premier League scoring record by scoring in 11 consecutive matches. There was sort of narrative being played out everywhere. It was, as you say, Jimmy, you know, the first clean sheet. Can they get through there? Can they still be top of the league? Everyone's going, go on, stay there, stay there. You know,
that really helped them, that thing about Vardy taking Ruud van Nistelrooy's record, because it made the story all about him and he could step up to that.
Yes.
So that took the...
And at that point, they were level on points with City, but second on goal difference, I think. So I know it's easy. Sometimes it's easy to fall into that trap of thinking, oh, Leicester won the league because everyone else just muffed it up. But City were competing at that point.
They were.
Leicester. Yeah, very much so.
Absolutely right. And they were top at Christmas, which is always a big thing, isn't it? You know.
Yeah.
But they were bottom at Christmas the previous year, which just showed like the absolutely remarkable turnaround. They then lost for only the second time in the league away to Liverpool. And everyone was like, what are you doing? You're ruining it. You know.
Don't forget that game where they came back and beat Villa 3-2. Mm. They were 2-0 down against Villa. And they beat them 3-2.
Was it Everton or Villa?
No, it's Villa, because Tim Sherwood uttered the famous
phrase. Oh, is that the one?
Yeah. I ain't never felt this bad ever.
Right, okay.
I ain't never felt this bad ever.
Yeah. Yes.
How can we forget that?
Yeah, we'll have to do a show on that.
That was when Dyer scored that last-minute winner and knocked himself out in the process.
That's right. Oh, yeah. God, this season was insane.
Yeah. It was an amazing game.
Yeah. Winning it.
Well, Leicester, they drew at home 0-0 with Man City.
It was the best game we've talked about since yesterday.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? What we said, I used an aviation term about the Swiss cheese effect, how everything just seemed to align for Brazil to fail. Well, everything aligned for Leicester to succeed here.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. They drew 0-0 with Manchester City, where they just set up to contain them. And they did contain them, but everyone thought, should they have gone for that? Well, when they played them at the Etihad, they certainly did go for it, didn't they? I mean, watching Leicester, they went 3-0 up, I think it was, and then maybe Man City pulled a goal back. I think they won 3-1. But when they scored sort of the first two, everyone was going, oh my days, this could actually... you know, we've enjoyed them being top of the league and hanging around the top spot, but blooming heck, this is going to happen.
Yeah, you could see the effect that had on their opponents as well, because nobody knew how to take them.
Yeah.
Nobody. Like, I mean, you can prepare for games and you can have a strategy against how teams are going to play, but sort of emotionally, it does feed into how you approach this sort of thing. And you could see just people didn't know what to make of Leicester.
Absolutely.
And they knew that and they used it.
Well, and you were saying about Vardy, stuff becoming about him, but in a positive way. Well, they had, I mean, I don't know what's happened. It's in the making. The Jamie Vardy film.
Yeah, indeed.
You know, the was it the producer or director from Hollywood came over to watch them against Liverpool. He scores that wonder goal and it just all seemed there. It just all seemed set up for Leicester to win the league.
And that, if nothing else, proves that indeed every human being on the planet knew that Jamie Vardy used to play in the non-league.
Zac Efron due to play the part. I don't know.
Is that happening?
Somebody mentioned that.
Come on. You quite fancy Zac Efron playing you in a film, that's why.
Just say, I quite fancy Zac Efron.
Yeah, true.
That'll do. That'll do me. And then Leicester, of course, they were top of the league, and it's kind of, oh, are they going to bottle it? And then the 1-0s came along. Yeah. Just see it out, get over the line.
So those games were Watford, Newcastle, Palace and Southampton. You know, all tough games where everyone's sort of...
They're winnable games. The games you've got to win.
Yeah, exactly.
If you look at Liverpool, and I always talk about the type of team they always lose to under Klopp. Mm. Exactly those types of games.
But those types of games as well, all those teams would normally think, oh, we can attack Leicester. Like, hang on, you like to hit teams on the break. Oh, we're not going to fall for that one.
But it's March. It's the business end. It's where even the bad teams are hard to play because they're fighting for something. They're starting to panic.
That's a good point. I think, Pete, do you want to sort of come in here on the Newcastle United aspect of this?
Maybe they weren't.
They were one of those teams who were beaten 1-0 by Leicester, I believe, and they ended up obviously being relegated out of the top flight that season.
They were very hard to be found out, I think, at Leicester, because they had so much going for them. They had so much pace up front, and they hit teams on the break. And it doesn't matter how much you know. At some point, if you want to beat Leicester, you're going to have to attack them at some point. Mm. And if that goes out for a goal kick, or if it doesn't, it's going up the other end and they're going to score, presumably.
Is this season sort of tainted for you?
All I can see of the season is me feeling sad and Gary Lineker's pants. So,
Gary Lineker's pants, that ruined it.
Was that not the next season?
I don't agree. If
we're going to talk about the legacy.
Yes.
Gary Lineker's crumpled boxer shorts.
Yeah, they weren't really boxer shorts because he said he was going to do it in his pants. Yeah. And they weren't, because his pants would have been too obscene, presumably.
Oh, right.
I imagine he's a thong man.
Because he loves himself a bit. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
Very much so, yeah.
I'd heard rumours that he spent a lot of time in the gym with his personal trainer, knowing full well that this was...
He's been in good shape for a while.
Someone said to me that Robbie Savage spent a lot of time in the gym ahead of doing Strictly Come Dancing.
Fair enough, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all right. Isn't it? Yeah. I've got no problem with it, I'm just saying.
Well then.
Listen, I'm getting under the fingernails of football media broadcasting. The people out there need to hear these types of things.
Yeah, they do. They do very much so. They also need to be reminded that the clinching point for Leicester winning the league was at Old Trafford.
Yes.
Yeah. When Wes Morgan got the equaliser.
The pinch off.
Yeah, which set up... Chelsea needing to do them a favour.
Yeah, and they did.
Which they certainly did. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that after the break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Beaverbrook, Clement Attlee, Henry Cooper, Lady Diana, Maggie Thatcher.
Only four
Cars and Horses.
Welcome back, everybody.
On a DVD box set, presumably. My favourite one in that is Lady Diana. The way he says Lady Diana.
Still very respectful.
Luke. We've chosen the 12. We're counting down, of course. We're on number 7 now. It's going by so quickly. Tomorrow will be number 6, because that's how it works. And we'd love for you to get in touch as well, though, with your favourite moment since 2007. Also, because on Christmas Eve, we're going to choose our favourite, and you are going to win a whacking great 55-inch 4K TV from Toshiba. And in addition to that, we will record your moment at some point in the new year, and when we can get pizza diary availability into the bargain. Toshiba offers you the chance to watch every football match in 4K picture clarity, thanks to the TV's pinpoint sharp resolution. No detail, no flick or kick of the ball will ever be missed. Enjoy 24/7 access to a whole world of online content, including catch-up TV and on-demand services such as Netflix. And you can also access last week's shows on demand with Freeview Play. For an authentic audio experience, it also comes with that subwoofer.
Oh.
Woof!
To project that bass sound. Don't just hear, but feel the roar of the crowd.
Feel them.
So email us, show@thefootballramble.com for your favourite moment of 2007 onwards for a chance to win. Pete will probably better help you out right about now with one of his suggestions.
Jonas kicking Kansas' arse.
That's a nice one.
And then giving it the big one to Mike Ashley against West Ham.
Yeah.
Thanks, West Ham.
That is actually quite a good one.
For another magical moment.
Oh dear, it was a beautiful Eden Hazard equaliser for Chelsea that handed Leicester City the title.
And what's interesting about that is Hazard has had, you know, arguably the worst season that a sort of, you know, a player of the year level player has had in the top flight, you know,
because
it was
just
it was baffling, wasn't it? And
yeah.
we know
but
he's
wasn't
a far
the
better
only
player
one.
Than that. No, he wasn't. Yeah. Chelsea were having this absolute weird season. We were saying a lot at the time, it's like Chelsea and Leicester have swapped seasons.
Yeah.
And Hazard just waking up in that game was it was more than Eden Hazard scoring a goal. That's not weird. In this game, it was.
Depending on your outlook, that might have been quite annoying. if, for example, you were, I don't know, a Spurs fan.
I enjoyed it.
I'm sure you bloody did. But don't forget that Leicester won the league. They went on to win the league by 10 points.
It was 10 points. Huge margin. I think they received a guard of honour at Stamford Bridge on the last day of the season. Ranieri going back there.
That is the tradition,
isn't
it?
So poetic, isn't it?
Was.
Ranieri being there and
what about
Chelsea playing that part.
I'll tell you what was poetic. Andrea Bloody Bocelli.
Yes! Having a little sing-song.
Nessun Dorma.
We said it at the time, but he got Andrea Bocelli to sing at Filbert Street. Am I joking? He got him to sing at the King Power. And Ranieri, the man who had vanquished his demons, laid to rest the ghost of Chelsea past, was standing there holding another man's coat on his big day. And that tells you everything you need to know about that.
Also, on top of that, on the day that they actually won the league with the Battle of Stamford Bridge, Ranieri had been in Italy having lunch with his 96-year-old mother, wasn't he?
Very nice.
Was that same day?
Sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, it was around that time.
Because there was rumours that he wasn't going to be able to get back in time for to watch it, or he was going to be flying. They managed to change the flight, if I remember rightly.
Right.
At the last moment. So, great, you know, flexible bookings, worth paying the extra 20 quid.
And Ranieri, of course, followed up with a spectacular season the following year, which you're no doubt going to tell us about, Marcus.
Yeah, well...
he lasted till the 23rd of February 2017.
Which some people would have said it was too long. A former Leicester City manager summed it up all quite nicely by saying, it's like a dream for everyone that loves football. That was Fenn, of course.
As the man himself is.
As he looked longingly into a mirror.
The dream didn't last, as you say, Luke. No. It was they quickly woke up. Just one little point there about the side that played there, you know, Schmeichel, Morgan, Huth and Drinkwater and so on and so forth. What is interesting, going back to the point we said about the players being perhaps a little uninspiring, one could be forgiven for thinking at the start of the season, it's only really Kante that's gone on. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Kante's gone on to Chelsea and you know, won the league there and so on. But Vardy's still there. Yeah, he was subject, you know, there was the transfer talk with Arsenal and so on.
And
so
Mahrez was as well.
Yeah, but he's still there, though.
Yeah.
And that backs up the point that this wasn't a side, like Monaco, for example. Obviously, they, you know, did...
Get picked to pieces, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, they're all quite old.
A lot, yeah. But that's it, though.
There's a few exceptions. He's quite old,
Casper.
Average age.
And even he's, like, older than you think. I never understand why Casper doesn't get as many plaudits as he does. He never really drops any clangers.
You're right, though.
He's a decent keeper.
He's always considered to be younger than he is just because he's someone's high-profile son.
Yeah.
And none of us want to acknowledge the fact that time moves on.
Do you remember his time, I think it was under Sven, actually, at Notts County?
Yes.
He nearly scored a bicycle kick.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Do search that out, because
that'd be the highlight. That'd be the
not,
real highlight.
Is he not waiting for David De Gea to finally go to Real Madrid so he can go to Manchester United?
Yeah. Imagine it.
But fast forward it to the following year, and Ranieri was fired. They were 1 point above relegation with 13 games left.
Yeah.
They had lost 5 Premier League games in a row. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, after he went, they won 5 games in a row.
Well, when Shakespeare,
and so you have to say the decision was the correct decision. If we all accept, I suppose, which we do these days in 2017, that being in the Premier League is the most important thing, mm-hmm. which I suppose we have to begrudgingly accept, then you can't argue with the decision. You can't.
You can't, although him and his Enzo Berzot Award would have gone elsewhere, you know, perhaps into retirement. And that award was given to Italian managers, obviously outstanding achievements and so on. And the winners so far are Prandelli, Mazzarri, Montella, Ancelotti, Allegri and Ranieri. Mm, I forget who won it after that, but yeah, I love the fact that Ranieri's name is in there with all them for that season. But you're right, Luke, yeah, it was so gutting when Ranieri went, but it was one of those ones where you thought, but you have to understand
it. Yeah, of course.
And it's such a shame. It was this kind of, almost like a throwback from years. I think Tony Pulis sort of commented about, you know, Nottingham Forest going up and then winning the league, and said, you know, Leicester, this is an even greater achievement than that, because the haves and have-nots are much wider apart. So that sort of throwback sort of feeling about Leicester winning the league was then confronted abruptly with modern football.
I think it was, apart from the obvious, we all know what they achieved and it was amazing, but to me the reason, an added reason why it was even more amazing, is because we had all been conditioned almost subconsciously to accept that no, in quotes, non-traditional team was ever going to win the domestic top flight in the UK, in England again. And the fact that happened means we have no choice but to reassess our opinion of that and think about how this changes English football in the future. I don't know if this will happen again, or anything like it will happen again, but you have to argue even now, relatively speaking, quite soon after this has happened, for example, our owners and chairmen hiring and firing managers being informed by what Leicester did to win the Premier League? I think they probably are.
Quite possibly.
Right? I think they probably think, well, do you know what? We are entitled to have these ambitions.
But it's changed the potential of every club in the land.
Absolutely. Yeah. Also, as well, you know, people can compare them a lot to Nottingham Forest in the 70s, and rightly so. It makes you think, like, again, it breaks that idea of, oh, this can never happen. Maybe in 30 years, Middlesbrough will win the Premier League. In similar circumstances, you do, you know, these anomalies are possible, and it's a beautiful reminder of that.
I think what it was is the tide is going one way. You can't stop the unstoppable tide of the money in football, the haves and have nots. But occasionally there's a little pocket of resistance in the shape of Leicester winning the title. And in addition to that, it cannot be understated that to sustain that across a 38 game season, the league table is the league table. We all know about that. 38 games. It's not a Greece Euro 2004. No. You know, it's not a Brazil losing to Germany in one game. This is a long old hop.
It's not also Portsmouth winning the FA Cup.
Not even that. Yeah.
Well, people do compare it to Blackburn as well, but Blackburn had Alan Shearer comparatively.
You know, but exactly.
And it was a different landscape.
And Blackburn had finished, I think, second or highly the season before. This is not stupid to say. We said at the time, a lot of people have said it, the greatest achievement in the history of sport. Definitely team sport. You could extend that in the history of sport. It's that big.
Is Okazaki the most decorated Japanese player, do you reckon?
It doesn't matter what I reckon. I don't know whether it is or not.
Marcus gets to decide.
Then you saw the odds of certain things. It was more likely that Lady Gaga was going to become the president of the United States, you know.
Right.
Mm. And how we wish that had happened as well.
That's another anomaly.
Or maybe it did.
But it was utterly sensational. But what was nice is, though, that despite Ranieri getting sacked and them having a fairly poor season, you know, I think they finished 12th the next season, they did have a great run in the Champions League.
Yes.
So the dream wasn't completely over.
Well, that was it. The Champions League run felt like the Leicester City of the league the year before, where the Leicester City of the league felt like the Leicester City of the year before in the league. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Absolutely.
They treated it almost like a tour, didn't they? Like a sort of enjoy yourself stag tour type thing.
They finished top of their group in the Champions League. They'd never played in the Champions League before.
It was like a stag do won the Premier League, wasn't it?
Yeah. Loads of like disparate groups. They don't really know each other. Yeah.
But they clicked. Yeah. It was
by the end. Oh, what a team.
And Leicester are still in the Premier League now at the time of recording, and they're here to stay. And they look like they're in pretty safe hands at the moment as well. So whatever happens, though, that can never be taken from them. Those fans will have that for the rest of their lives.
We will always have a footballer being dragged around a kitchen floor to celebrate a win.
Well, it seems like a bit of a blip on the Premier League timeline. And we see Burnley and Watford currently in this season having good seasons. And it's obviously nowhere near what Leicester did. We'll most likely never see that again. But the fact I'm saying most likely means that you can't say never.
You never know.
Cannot say never. And shows you that their league win still has a bit of an impact on the psyche of football fans in this country. So there we are, Leicester City.
I ain't never known anything like it, never.
It's like a dream for everybody who loves football.
There we go.
Thank you for listening to number 7 of our 12 Rambles of Christmas, a daily countdown of what we see as the 12 defining topics in football since we began the Football Ramble back in 2007.
And don't forget to email in show@thefootballramble.com for your favourite moment or theme or whatever it might be from 2007 onwards for your chance to win a Toshiba TV. And Pete's in charge, so bear that in mind.
Yeah. So everyone's got a chance.
Yeah.
What's Daddy going to like?
I've seen a few suggestions so far and thought, that's good, but it's not quite Pete enough. Never going to make it through the Pete filter.
Dangerous game.
Yeah. Trent, there, you can sell very close to the win with that.
Oh, dear. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
It's Leicester.
And say goodbye, Luke.
See you tomorrow for number 6.
Bye.
It's Christmas!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.